You're tuned in to Morning Edition on KSJD. I'm Daniel Reisel. On the phone with me now is George Brockler. He's the district attorney for Colorado's 18th Judicial District, an area covering close to 1 million people, and the Republican candidate for the Attorney General of Colorado. Welcome.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Let's start with an opinion piece you recently wrote for the Washington Times. It was titled, "The Merits of Criminal Justice Reform." You discussed sunsetting laws, and for those unfamiliar, it means to set up legislation to expire after a period and can be reenacted under review or discarded. What's an example of how this could play into Colorado's lawmaking?
Well, I think, you know, the first thing that people ought to know is that this is not a new idea in general. In fact, I quoted Thomas Jefferson in a letter I think he wrote to Adams about the idea that if we keep laws on the books in perpetuity, it's really allowing the last generation, in fact, even the deceased, to wield influence and power over the current living generation. So, for instance, we may view drug possession one way today, and we may view it differently just 5 years from now, just 10 years from now. I mean, you don't have to go back other than to 2012 to see that we didn't used to have regulated recreational marijuana here. The idea behind sunsetting criminal justice laws, which, by the way, I don't know of anybody in the country that has proposed this, is the idea that we are going to take probably the largest, most significant portion of our codified laws, the parts that touch us on our liberty and public safety, and we're going to say, and you can make up any time that you want as a legislature, 7 years, 10 years, we're going to have all of these laws in different areas expire until and unless we all get back together under the Gold Dome in Denver and say, this is what we think of drug possession. This is what we think of DUI. This is what we think of sex assault on a child. This is what we think of rape, robbery, murder, and a whole host of other esoteric crimes as well. That's how you get a good representative response of government, and I'm glad to take a leadership role on it.
And I wanted to clarify something that you mentioned not only in that opinion piece, but just now. When you say current generation, are you referring to really everyone in Colorado? Or are you specifically mentioning, say, an older generation or a younger generation that's coming in?
I'm really talking about everybody in Colorado, the generation of the living, right? The people that are here that are actually subjected to these laws. They should have the maximum opportunity to put their fingerprints all over them and make them the kind of laws that they want to be subjected to, that they will abide by. And so, you know, I've heard some people say, well, what about the idea that they might not take something as seriously as it is on the books today? Maybe that's a concern, but honestly, that's what the law should be, is reflective of the views and values of the generation governed by those laws, not by the past generation. We already do that. That's called our Constitution.
Moving on to a more national level, your main opponent, Democrat Phil Weiser, has a fairly strong stance against many of the decisions coming from the Trump administration. Where do you stand on the administration's direction and how it might or might not benefit Colorado?
I think if you take a step back from the positions of the professor, the bolder professor who's running against me, what you'll see is it is less about taking on the Trump administration than it is about trying to defend the legacy of President Obama and trying to defend significant federal overreach on areas that impact our daily lives. I'll give you an example. Waters of the United States, the Clean Power Plan, net neutrality, all of these things are decisions that should have been debated, decided out of a Congress or a state legislature. But instead, because they were too radical and too extreme, they couldn't get through Congress, the past president put in place a series of rules through the EPA and the FCC and other administrative agencies that live 1,500 miles from here to dictate to us things like how we can use our water in the state of Colorado, how we can use our land, what we have to do about our air, and how we're going to achieve those things, and what we do with the internet. These are issues largely for Coloradans to have maximum input on, not bureaucrats from Washington, D.C. So what President Trump has done, and believe me, there's a lot of things that I disagree with how they're rolled out. There's some substantive things I agree with, some I don't, like I'm not a big fan of the tariffs. But in this area, President Trump's administration has sought to return to Colorado the authority to regain decision-making over these important areas of our life.
You've mentioned the physical distance, you know, of the state from the capital where, I should say, from the national capital where a lot of these decisions are coming from that are affecting the state. Do you think that let's say, should he become Attorney General, that Colorado could end up serving as an example for what other relatively remote states could do in having autonomy?
It doesn't matter whether you're Republican or Democrat, progressive, liberal, conservative. The last two administrations, the current one and the past one, should have demonstrated to all Coloradans the need to want to take away as much decision-making from those people in D.C. as possible. I think on a microcosm, though, we're seeing the same thing at the state level. What you notice out in Cortez is that every single state decision seems to start and stop with an analysis of how does this impact Denver? That seems to be what goes on under the Gold Dome there all the time. What we need to do is stop subscribing to this 1860s model of state government where every agency has to be a horse and buggy ride away from the Capitol just in case the governor wants to have tea. We need to start pushing state government, and I'll do this as Attorney General, out to the parts of the state where all the tax dollars are collected, but we never seem to be physically, we never seem to be serving with the same intensity that we serve Denver. And that's why Cortez, that's why Montezuma County, that's why all the Western Slope and Eastern Plains places I've visited have all said the same thing. We feel like we're a second Colorado. So as Attorney General, what I want to do is start to put the office, it's an $80 million budget that largely gets spent all catty corner from the Capitol. We take this AG's office and we begin the process of decentralizing it and pushing out. Maybe it starts as a task force, and you take some of these state prosecutors, state investigators, and they move, and or we grow them right here in Montezuma County to live in the places that they serve, where they can now support, not supplant, but support your sheriff, support your district attorney. They want an attorney general's office that is nimble, flexible, and willing to view the state of Colorado in its entirety and not just the Boulder-Denver corridor. And I don't live in Denver.
To wrap things up, Colorado has shown a general shift to the left, but is still known as a very purple state. Do you believe your platform will win enough voters across the spectrum for a comfortable victory in the fall?
Well, comfortable victory is victory. I expect this to be a tight race, in large part because my opponent has been a prolific out-of-state fundraiser. He has raised about $500,000 outside the state of Colorado to get his message out. In fact, even through fundraisers, like in New York of all places, I don't have that kind of money. I don't have an out-of-state message that would get people to want to spend money on a statewide race here. So I expect it to be competitive. I do expect to be victorious because I am a Colorado kid. I mean, I grew up in Colorado. This is the only home that I know. Everything important in my life is here. And I have, whether it's as district attorney for a million people, managing 90 prosecutors and a staff of 225 people in a $23 million budget, or as an Army colonel, which I currently am, who has been mobilized twice on September 11th, been the chief of military justice in northern Iraq. I've been a small business owner, man. I started a business here and had it going for years before I had to go back to active duty. The message I have is not about Republican or Democrat. It's not about left or right. It's about Colorado. And if you want someone who is a proven fighter, but who also knows when not to fight, but to negotiate, when you've got someone who will stand up and knows what it takes to get in the ring and win, that's me.
George Brockler is the Republican Attorney General candidate for the state of Colorado. Midterm elections are coming up on November 6th. Thank you for joining me.
Hey, thanks for having me. This has been great. Call anytime.